But let's get into the word this morning. We're in a series right now honoring women and women in ministry. And I want to read from Luke chapter 8, verse 1. Just kind of give you some context to where we're going. It says, "Soon afterward, Jesus began a tour of the nearby towns and villages, preaching and announcing the good news about the kingdom of God. He took his 12 disciples with him, along with some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Among them were Mary Magdalene, from whom he had cast out 7 demons, Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's business manager, Susanna, and many others who were contributing from their own resources to support Jesus and his disciples." Let's pray. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for this house, Lord. I thank you for the word that's going to go forth this morning, and we just ask you today that you would speak to us. Holy Spirit, come, minister to your people today, encourage your people today, strengthen your people today, Lord. Lord, I ask you that you just stir us, Lord, with a fresh burden to pray, to seek your face, Lord, to be persistent in seeking you, Lord, and we just ask you that your kingdom come and your will would be done today. In Jesus' name, come on, and everybody said, amen. So Jesus was not shy of having strong women around him. And in that day and age, that was a very rare thing to happen, right? You know, in a lot of traditions and a lot of cultures, women were considered property or less than property sometimes. They had little to no rights a lot of times. And even Jesus throughout his ministry, from the woman at the well where he was the only one who would approach a Samaritan woman at the time, to the Jesus reaching down to minister to someone who touched the hem of his garment. You see Jesus getting up close and personal and having conversations with them. And I think it highlights not only something empowering for women today, but it also should encourage the men in the room to be conscious of the Lord's heart for women as well, because we can come in, I'm the man. Let me take care of the situation. I got this. You just go over there and stay in the kitchen. You know what I'm saying? We've heard all that stuff before, but I think that in this day and age, there's two things. One, I think there's been a lot of female influence in the church for the past 50 years. I think that's even today in demographics you look at, women are higher in church attendance than men, you know? And so there's an aspect of women taking charge because there's been a vacuum of men in there. But I think it's not for women to be championed, men don't have to lose. I think there's a balance that the Lord ordained, you know, because the Lord said it's not good for man to be alone, you know? And so I think there's a healthy balance to that. But you see, when I'm speaking about women this morning or having a woman in this parable that we're about to read, it's not just speaking to the ladies in the room, okay? Because we are all the bride of Christ, right? And so we are the church. And so a lot of times when Jesus would speak in parables or even things that happened in the Old Testaments were types and shadows of things to come. And so when we read through the scripture, when we see a woman, that may not just be Jesus or in the Old Testament, God speaking or ministering through a woman. It'd be the church ministering through the authority of Jesus Christ and applicable to every person in this room today. Amen. You tracking with me? So where I want to end up, and we've read this parable before, but it's found in Luke 18, and I'm going to read it first, then we'll like walk through it. But Luke 18, chapter verse 1, it says, "One day Jesus told his disciples a story to show that they should always pray and never give up. There was a judge in a certain city who neither feared God nor cared about people. A widow of that city came to him repeatedly, saying, "Give me justice in this dispute with my enemy." The judge ignored her for a while, but finally he said to himself, "I don't fear God nor care about people, but this woman is driving me crazy. I'm going to see that she gets justice because she is wearing me out with her constant requests." Then the Lord said, "Learn a lesson from this unjust judge. Even he rendered a just decision in the end. So don't you think that God will surely give justice to his chosen people who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will grant justice to them quickly. But when the Son of Man returns, how many will he find on the earth who have faith?" In a godly home, for the most part, I had a little wild prodigal years, but throughout my life, I've had the honor of having a praying mother and a praying grandmother and a praying mother-in-law. And earlier on, it was kind of annoying for me because my mom would do most of her praying while she was playing the piano. And so I would wake up every Saturday morning listening to her playing the piano, and I'm like, "Mom, it's 7:30. I'm trying to... This is my one day where I don't get to sleep in, you know?" And I'd come upstairs some mornings, and my mom would be reading her Bible. And then I heard stories of... Y'all have heard of the Brownsville Revival in Pensacola, Florida? Well, my mom grew up at that church in Brownsville Assembly of God before they had the big revival and everything. But my mom told me this story that they had this old, like... shed in the back behind the church where all the older intercessors would go pray, and they called it the Glory House, and they prayed for hours and hours and hours praying for revival to come. And my grandma was one of those little old ladies who would go back there and pray. And I have a strong history of women who pray and have prayed, and even my mother-in-law, she's an intercessor, and she taught me how to pray and all that stuff. So I've been blessed to have women of prayer in my life, even when things weren't going right. I remember one night, and this is just a testimony to how good God is. I was hanging out with the wrong crowd, partying, drinking, and I was in high school. Maybe I was like 16 at the time, and I was trying to impress my buddies, so I tried to drink more than the person next to me or whatever, and I found myself... I'm sorry, this is graphic, but I found myself throwing up all the stuff I drank, and I just felt so dizzy. I felt so lost. I didn't know what to do, and eventually I passed out. And I woke up on my friend's couch, and his mom was on drugs, so she wasn't there. I woke up in an empty house, and I was like, where am I? And I called my mom, and mom came and picked me up, and she could smell it, everything on me. She didn't say anything, but... She said, "What were you doing about 1:30 in the morning last night?" I was like, "Why?" You know, like, what do you know? You know, I thought I was in trouble. I thought I was going to get in trouble. She's like, "Well, the Lord just woke me up, and I started praying for you." And at the time, I was like, okay, whatever. But looking back on it, I was a teenager, and I wasn't as big as I am now. And so, like, I truly believe that the Lord woke her up to pray for me to keep me from getting alcohol. I'm going to call 911. You know, there wasn't any parental supervision there to take care of me, you know. So I truly believe that I've had many moments in my life, and all of us can think of a moment like that where we knew someone was praying for me. It might have been a car accident. It might have been a financial miracle. It might have been a relationship. But we've all had those moments where something happens where you can look back on it and say, "I thank God that that person was praying for me." And so we're blessed to have people who are intercessors in our lives. And this parable lays out not only a blueprint, but it should be very encouraging to us as people of prayer and as the church. You see, the first thing that this widow receives is a wrongdoing, an injustice. That's the whole reason she came to this judge. And this judge did not fear God, and he didn't care about what people thought. So that's a pretty bad combo, because he's running his own his own thing. And so she comes to him and asks him to grant her justice in her wrongdoing. And we as believers can sit in her seat and say, well, I've been doing pretty good. Nobody's really wronged me today. But we can get on social media. We can drive down the street and we can see a lot of injustice in our world. We can see it every single day. We can we can see it internationally. We can see it in our nation. We can see it in our own cities. And to the extent that that burden and that injustice grips your heart is up to you, and that's up to you and the Holy Spirit. I'm not asking you to pray for everything and under the sun and to take on burdens that the Lord didn't prepare you to bear, but I am asking you, what's the Lord putting on your heart? What's an injustice that the Lord's putting on your heart to pray for? What's the burden of injustice that the Lord's put on this house to see overturned in this city? And so her plea was valid because she came from a heart knowing that something was wrong and needed to be right. This is at the core of who an intercessor is. It's someone who can see that there's something, there needs a divine heavenly intervention to take place in that situation. And that's really all an intercessor is someone who can reach into another realm and release it into the earth. Lord, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We're not trying to twist God's arm. We're not trying to make something happen on our own power and our own strength, or even on our own time clock, where we're like, Lord, I punched the time clock. I've been praying about this every day for a week. Still ain't nothing happened. We're not doing it out of our own strength, but if we learn how to tap into the supernatural and tap into his kingdom and then to begin to release it on the earth, number one, things start happening a lot faster. And then also it takes the pressure off of us to try and perform that thing on our own. Because I can't do it on my own strength. I wish I could change so many of the injustices I see every single day, but I can't, but I know who can. And so it takes the pressure off of us to release that under the earth, but then also we don't have to walk around with that burden anymore. We're able to experience and have eyes to see and ears to hear what the Lord's speaking to us, but we don't have to walk around with the heaviness of that injustice on our back anymore. We've already released it to the Lord and trusting him that he's going to take care of it. He goes on to say, it says, the judge ignored her for a while, but finally he said to himself, I do not fear God or bad people, but this woman is driving me crazy. For sometimes he refused. And in our lives and in our life of prayer, time where the delay does not mean it's denied. The delay is not denied. It's not the same thing. Just because it doesn't happen on our time, on our calendar, on our plan, does not mean that God isn't moving. He's not working. He's not intricately moving all the details into place. Because honestly, and I've said this before, a lot of times I'm grateful to the Lord that I didn't receive everything I prayed for when I asked for it. Because young Ben couldn't handle what I have right now and what the Lord's trusted me with right now. And so in the same thing for all of us, there's so many things that the Lord's working through in every single situation that we don't even comprehend, but it takes trust to say, Lord, you've put this burden on my heart. You've made these promises to me. You told me this. Your word says this, Lord. So Lord, I'm standing on your promises, not mine. This was not my idea. And that's the best way to do it, honestly. When we remind the Lord of his word and we say, Lord, you said you were going to do this. Because we can come to the Lord all day long with our list of wants and needs, and it's good to make those petitions before the Lord. But when you come to him and say, Lord, your word says this. That's, you can take that to the bank because the Lord does not change his mind when it comes to the word of God. He says, this woman is driving me crazy. She's persistent. And I want to hit on persistence, but I'm going to turn it around on us in a minute. I ask myself this, are you persistent because of your burden, or are you burdened by your persistence? Are you persistent because you've taken on the heart of the Lord and he's given you a burden to see this happen? Or are you just really stubborn and are you trying to earn your way out of this burden? Lord, I need to see you to see this move because I'm tired of praying for it. That's on my list, but you know, we know this one person who always got a prayer request for something that they know the answer to, right? I'm just gonna leave it there because y'all thought about somebody. I didn't, but you know, no, I know exactly who it is. But do we give up when we see when we don't? Judge, I need to ask for immediately. This woman could have easily, when she approached that judge the first time, judge, I need justice for this. No? All right. I guess I'll just live my life with this injustice, you know? She didn't have anybody else. She was a widow, you know? Nobody was taking care of her. The Lord's calling us to consistency in prayer and intercession. There's a story of, there was a popular strip club in Greenville right off 385. It was called Platinum Plus for a long time. And there had been, I think the last number was there were over 300 police calls in 1 year to that building, 300. The law enforcement eventually shut it down through a big undercover operation and shut everything down. And luckily that building was vacant for a long time. And the building went up for sale and a church bought it. And they renovated it, and it's a beautiful building now. My wife is leading worship there right now at Hope Church Greenville. And sorry, I didn't mean to close that. After the church bought that building, the community began to come out, because usually, like, it made a pretty big fuss. They were making a lot of jokes about our church and on social media and things like that. And I was managing our social media at the time, so I got to see all of them. But through all that exposure of that purchase of that particular building, because it was so well known, a lot of intercessors came out, shut down. And there were some people who would come in and they would park in the back of the parking lot and pray for a second and then leave. And then there was, I think it was a Presbyterian church. I forgot the name of it, but there were intercessors at that church, at a church. I think it was Presbyterian or Baptist, I'm not sure, but a group of ladies had been praying for that building to shut down for over 20 years. 20 years. They're like, Lord, this is not right. This doesn't need to be happening in our city. They had the heart of the Lord for it, and they prayed for 20 years. Over 20, I think it was. And now finally, not only did the Lord shut that business down, but he did something incredibly and exceedingly abundantly more than any of them could ask, think, or imagine, and transformed that property from what once used to be a place of wickedness, and now it's a place that glorifies the Lord. There are people worshiping in the same building that people used to get messed up on every night, right now. And had those intercessors known back then what was going to happen, man, they know now. But that persistency of like, Lord, I need justice. I need justice. I need justice. This isn't right. This isn't right. And that consistency and that over and over, ask, seek, knock, over and over again. I'm grateful for people like that, but that I know that was just a small fraction of what God wants to do in our cities. Imagine if entire churches begin to be consistent in prayer when it comes to injustices in their city. Imagine what the Lord could do instead of just four little old ladies gathering together on a Tuesday morning praying. Imagine what an entire church committing to pray over and over every time they get a chance. Imagine what kind of transformation we can do. And honestly, since I've been a parent for about a year and a half now, and I'm used to just take the world as it shows up, you know, whatever, who's president, don't care, Jesus is still on the throne, all that stuff. But the older I get and the more my daughter grows up, I begin to think about what kind of world I want my daughter to grow up in, what kind of world I want her kids to grow up in. And so not only am I thinking just about her, but I'm thinking about what she's going to have to deal with in the future. You know, am I going to have to deal with the thought of my daughter being abducted from a playground at 10, 11, 12 to be trafficked? You know, am I going to have to worry about my daughter going off to college and maybe getting drugged while she's at a bar or a party or just whatever? And God knows what happens to her after that. That's not the world I want my kids to grow up in. I know that's not the world you want your kids to grow up in. Well, we don't change things but just by talking about it. We do it by praying about it. So the Lord's challenging us today to stay more consistent with prayer. And I wrote a couple of these down. They're just practical, very practical tips on how to be consistent in your prayer life. Number one, have a place and have a time. You know, you can't meet with God if you don't plan on it, you know. They say if you fail to plan, you what? Plan to fail. So have a place and a time. Number two, have a plan. Make a list. You know, there's a term I learned from one of our pastors at our church. He said, I think it was Paul who said, I make mention prayers often. And when we make a list, we can make mention of things without spending 30 minutes on one person to pray for. Because honestly, like some people I pray for, I don't know them that well to pray that long, you know? And so make mention of people. Lord, bless my buddy John. Bless my buddy Holden. You know what's on their heart, Lord. I just ask you to just move right there. And that's all you got. Just go through your list. So have a list. Have a plan. Don't just come in here, Lord, I'm going to pray for something. I think I'll pray for Israel today. If the Lord puts you on your heart to pray for Israel, go for it. But have a plan. The next thing is on the list is praise is the key to his presence. We enter his courts with thanksgiving. We enter his gates with praise. When we approach the throne of the Lord to bring a prayer before him, let's enter into his presence first. That's why we do worship first. It's not... we're not doing anything that the Lord hasn't already outlined for us to do even today. You know, we began with praise. We rejoiced in the Lord. And then we brought him an offering. And then we get what we need from this. This word isn't for him, it's for us. So the most important part of the service isn't what we get out of it, it's what he gets out of it. So how much more effective would our prayers be if we had an open audience before him in his presence through praise? The other one is don't carry the burden all on your own. You know, when the Lord puts something on your heart to pray for, his yoke is easy, his burden is light. You don't have to be, if you're stressing, if you're worried, if it's affecting your sleep and your eating habits and your health, that you're not carrying that burden properly. You've got the strength of the Holy Spirit dwelling on the inside of you. And the last one is, it's kind of the same thing, but leave it at his feet, not on your mind. After you make that petition to the Lord and ask him for it, don't try and like make, I know this is crazy, but I make up scenarios like, Lord, I prayed for this. Lord, how are you going to do it? Are you going to put it on this person's heart to bless this person so this happens? Are you going to, you know, are you going to allow this person to be president to make this happen? Or, and we go through these things. And what if we just trusted the Lord and say, Lord, I thank you that you are sovereign. You are on the throne, Lord. The Lord wants to build that trust with all of us. The Lord wants to, you can't be in relationship with someone that you don't trust. Right? So in the parable, it continues. It says, the judge says, I'm going to see that she gets justice because she's wearing me out with her constant requests. Then the Lord said, learn a lesson from this unjust judge. Even he rendered a just decision in the end. So don't you think God will surely give justice to his chosen people who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you that he will grant justice to them quickly. But when the Son of Man returns, how many will he find on the earth who have faith? You see, at the end, Jesus completely flips the script on us, because he's using the illustration of a widow with a judge who is unjust and cares for no one. But how many of you know that the bride of Christ is not a widow? We have a king on the throne. We have a champion who goes before us. And then when we make a petition to the Lord, he is a just judge. And so he says, how much more, how quickly will the Lord not answer your prayers? You see, a lot of people take this parable and they say, hey, you just got to bug the heck out of the Lord till he does what you want him to do. No, it's just the opposite, really. See, I'm encouraging you to be consistent in prayer and praying for these injustices. I'm not asking you to approach it without faith. That's the key. He said, will he find on the earth those who have faith? That's the difference. That faith. We approach the Lord and we be consistent in prayer and we cry out to him day and night, but we also come to him hungry and more than able to do exactly what he promised to do and swiftly. He said so right there. So when we read this parable again, and I encourage you to go back and read it in your own time, don't put the widow, put a bride right there. And don't put an unjust judge, put a just king. He will grant justice to us quickly. Those are the truths that we pull out of this verse. God is just, his church is his bride, he will grant justice quickly. The only variable in this parable is us. The only question he asks is, will he find faith? And as we celebrate praying women, praying mothers, as we look back on all the women in the Bible who took the Lord, I remember the story of Anna in the Bible. She was a widow. She fasted and prayed to see the Messiah. And then they brought Jesus into the synagogue and she said, this is him. Luke 2. She had faith to believe that she wasn't going to die until she saw the Messiah with her own eyes. Listen, we're honored to stand in a place in this building even where women of faith have prayed and prayed and prayed. And my biggest burden for my generation is that we not forget how to pray like our grandparents did and our parents did. Because my generation has things a lot easier. We have access to a lot more information and education, but somehow we're still dumb in a lot of ways. Sometimes I'm still dumb, but the Lord's calling us today to practice consistent and persistent prayer. And he's using the illustration, the parable of a persistent widow to get the justice that she needed in that moment. So let's all bow our heads and close our eyes. Lord, I thank you today. Lord, who isn't mindful. But Lord, your word says that if you take care of the flowers of the fields and the birds of the air, how much more do you take care of us, Lord? That's who we approach today. That's who we always approach in prayer, Lord. And so, Lord, we thank you for your justice. We thank you for your righteousness, Lord. We thank you that you are good. And Lord, because of that, Lord, I ask you that you would grant your bride, your church, the confidence and the boldness to approach your throne often for requests of justice to be released in the earth, Lord. So, Lord, even now I ask you that you would begin to lay burdens on people's hearts today, Lord. Open their eyes to see what you see, to feel what you feel, Lord. Let them know that it's just not their imagination or their personality, but Holy Spirit, that you would highlight things that you're calling them to stand in the gap for, to stand and release your kingdom on the earth, Lord, as it is in heaven. In the realm of education, in the realm of government, in the realm of media, Lord, in every scope, Lord, politics, whatever it may be, Lord Jesus. We ask you for the boldness and the faith. If you've been lacking in your faith, just begin to ask him for it. Lord, give me faith to pray like that. Give me faith to believe that when I ask something, it'll be done. Give me faith to see myself the way you see me in prayer, God. Because Lord, some of us in here just feel like a persistent widow, Lord, who feel like we're just bothering you over and over and over and you don't want to help, Lord. But in reality, you are so just, you are so kind that you are waiting for us to ask for things. So Lord, I ask you that you would just increase our faith today, Lord, to believe you and take you at your word, Lord. Lord, stir our hearts to pray. Stir our hearts to contend, Lord. Lord, I ask you to release persistent faith today, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, thank you for being with us today. We encourage you to connect with one another on your way out, and we'll see you next week.